Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to talk about games because it's Tottenham at Attack.
Not sure what I think of that.
You don't think
again?
You don't like it?
Didn't really say exactly what we were going to be talking about, did it?
Games, very general.
Maybe
I should have said video games. Maybe I should have specified electronic
media.
What
kind of games? War games.
War games. The film. Yes, I'm very into that.
Mind games.
Love games. You're playing your love games with me. That's a Mighty Boosh reference.
They didn't say sex games.
No, that would be a very different podcast. Board games.
Board games. Yeah, we've never discussed a board game on the podcast, have we?
No, we haven't. Playground games.
Yeah.
Hopscotch.
How many other games can you name? Please. Write on our Twitter wall, because no one else does.
No.
Do they do that? Is that a Twitter wall a thing? Ryder's got it totally wrong.
Right, it's a Facebook wall. Oh. It's just a tweet. It's
a Twitter stream.
Yes.
Is it a Twitter stream?
It's a stream, yes.
It's a stream of consciousness.
I guess so, or 140 characters at a time.
Reply to a tweet with a game.
Yes, granddad. Like yes, reply to a tweet with a game.
If we tweet out, yeah. What are your favourite games that aren't video games? That's a good tweet, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Do you want me to do that?
Do that, Tom.
I'll do that. Not right now, because we've got a podcast to do.
Shame.
And I can't multitask.
Yeah. How are you doing, Thomas? You all right? That was a long preamble into this Hugh
I'm
podcast.
All right. I felt I had to improve your introduction slightly.
So. All right, okay. I was going to use the excuse that I'm ill, but, you know, just shove the knife in my back while you're at it.
Well, someone has to, you know.
Yeah,
keep
you
on
true.
Your toes.
Exactly.
You know, you need that when you're feeling a bit down.
You oh, you bleed my
challenge.
Lungs. I'm sure I'll be able to breathe properly then. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. Sorry
okay.
to hear you're feeling a bit off.
I am. I'm a little bit congested.
There's something in the air at the moment. There's also all these bloody posters on the streets of Vila of all these people.
Yes.
Right? And these are all these electoral candidates, I guess.
Yes, for the Danish
political...
But there's
political... so many of them.
Yes,
well,
there
what's
are.
What's going on? Why? Do you know why there's so many of them? Usually you get, like, a few.
Because next week is the local elections here
so
in
this
Denmark.
Is just kind of...
This is for, like, Vila Commune Council to say which part of Denmark we're living in.
Not a lot to go off, though, is it? A face...
No, it isn't. And chatting with one of our Danish colleagues who is in the know about Danish politics, apparently these signs are essentially very ineffective in actually determining the voting logistics. Mm. They were on the streets yesterday campaigning. There were people out there. You were shaking hands as well as seeing faces. And they're also doing some stuff in the local area to say, hey, this is who we are. We will tell you about our political
what
party.
What do you think about it?
Well, this is actually the first time we can vote in this election, because we've been here over 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to vote. I don't know. I think it's Thursday.
Is there anybody who makes their policies available to non-Danish language speakers?
Some parties do.
They should do, really, because there is quite a few people who would like to maybe feel more a part of the country who don't quite have the language down.
No. Ourselves included.
Yeah.
But there was... to be honest with you, even if I could speak better Danish, I doubt I would be well-versed enough in Danish to actually read a political manifesto and go, okay, this is what this person wants for this people of Vila. And here in Denmark, the communes, as they're called, the what the hell is the word for that? Like local governments in the UK.
Constituencies,
yes. Yeah. I guess
is
so.
Is that right? Right.
Like local boroughs, what do you call like Greater Manchester area? There is a term for that. This is how flued up
borough
I am.
Council.
There's boroughs, but there's also another word beyond that that I can't think of.
We're doing everything but talk about games.
We are. Exactly.
You know,
we're talking about the most important game, Tom, politics.
I'd mention that because, you know, all these people are just heads.
Yes.
You know, it'd be great if somebody actually included their body on the poster as well. You know, just to give them maybe an advantage.
I actually was walking yesterday and I saw someone had graffitied a moustache onto someone. Yeah. And then I saw another poster of a woman with a nose ring,
yeah,
like a ring through a nose. Sure. And I thought that was graffiti, but then no, it turns out that is actually her political poster. And I was like,
oh,
okay.
And the moustache wasn't.
The moustache was comically drawn on top of him. However, the nose ring, progressive Danish politics.
I saw
apparently
one with the word racist plastered over their eyes.
Yes, that is. There's a party here in Denmark called the Danske Folk Party. They're kind of equivalent to UKIP.
But I'm not sure if it was the Folk Party one, actually.
No, but this is the thing.
Okay,
there
sorry
is a more far-right party than Danske Folk Party that I can't remember the name of. I believe their name is New Radicals. and they are the super far-right
to
party.
To bring this back to games, there's a, on the fighting game, or side-scrolling beat-em-up, Mutant Rampage Body Slam.
Yes.
There is a team, the humans who are fighting the mutants. They're called the New Radicals.
Okay. I thought you were going to go Final Fight and say Haga for president, but never mind. Or Haga for mayor, sorry. God, my cold is so infectious. But it's okay, because I've been sat here most of the day, Thomas, playing Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, go on. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that game.
I done gone beat that Wolfenstein 2, Tom. I've gone and beaten it,
well,
yes.
Well, how much time have you spent playing?
The wonders of debilitating illnesses, such as head colds, as every man out there will know, mean that you can do very little but stay in a house and play video games.
You've been playing that all day?
No, I played some of it this morning, and I played a big chunk of it yesterday, but I did other things.
I mean, I feel like I spent a reasonable amount of time with the last game, but hardly scratched the surface. Is this shorter than the last Wolfenstein
game? It's about 12 hours, I think. Mm.
That's still quite a lot.
It is still quite a lot. Yeah. But it's actually gotten to the point now where I am preparing to do this. Hey, I'm not going to play new release video games for a year and see how well I get on with it. But that is the
really?
Goal, at least. Yeah. It's the goal. I want to draw
when you
more. I want to write.
When you
as of January 1st.
Okay.
So I will try and squeeze in as many games as I can.
You didn't have to get Wolfenstein.
I did not have to get Wolfenstein. However, I
you
had
wanted to play
heard
it.
Nothing but good
but what's
things.
What's going to start next year when you hear about a game which is so fantastic and awesome and you've got to play it, and you'll say, no, sorry.
To be honest with you, I've not as good a year as 2017 has been.
Mm.
There is not one gaming experience I could name that I've gone, oh man, this has completely changed the way I feel about video games.
But you've
or
certainly
think
had
about
a
narrative.
Lot of enjoyable experiences.
Oh, definitely.
Nier, for example.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
A game
Nier is a great experience.
A lot about. And
Super Mario Odyssey, as I will talk about in a
Yakuzas.
Moment. Yakuza games are great. They've got great stories. Mm. However, I don't feel that I really needed to play like 20 hours of a game to experience that great story.
Who knows, next year the game could come along.
It could.
What's coming out next year that you're going to miss out on? Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves I've already played. I don't think that's going to change the direction of video games. Last of Us 2, especially after that Sony press conference, which I guess we'll talk
God
about in a
War?
Bit. God of War? No
well,
interest.
Let's...
Never played any of them.
Sure. Mm, okay. I don't know. I've got some
that
high
David
hopes for
Cage
that.
Game Detroit. No interest.
Oh, yeah. Him of Quantum Dream, is it?
Him of Quantum Dream,
is it
yes.
Quantum Dream?
Of Fahrenheit and Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls.
I bet Quantum fame. Dream was his nickname in college.
That's what they called him, yeah. The Quantum Dream. No, that is the goal, and so I'm just trying to like mop up my pile of shame, as it were, which is actually only...
Well, that doesn't sound like fun, does it?
Well, no, I mean, there's
mopping
only...
up the game.
There's only two games left that I have that I would still like to play, and that is Splatoon, and I would like to beat Overcooked. I still might play games in a social capacity, because that's how I've been playing Overcooked, is when we've had guests over, we've been playing that. But I will beat Splatoon single player. Maybe every now and again I will play some Battlefield online with a good friend, Jakob. But other than that, it will be... I'll pick up Yakuza yeah. 6. I don't think I'll play it, though.
Okay. I am a rather casual gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. Yeah, yes. Would you say that?
I would definitely agree with your assumption you are a casual gamer.
Yeah. Or well, someone who is very interested in playing new things, experiencing the latest and greatest, the genre of video games, the medium of video games can bring.
I would say you're less of a casual gamer because you do like to try new things. You do like to buy a lot of video games and sample them.
Yes.
However, that's all you really do.
What I realised, actually, recently was, you know, I do these Paris pickup videos every week for Bass Process. Go and check out the YouTube channel.
And represent my boys.
I actually haven't done one for the last 2 weeks. And that is because sometimes I don't want to play maybe the games I've just picked up.
Yeah.
I might decide, like this morning, I could have played one of the new games I picked up. But I wanted to play Street Fighter V because I felt like playing Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
And there's many times I felt like playing something. I thought, nah, I can't play that right now because I need to do these videos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, usually it's I'm excited that I've got a new game and I want to play it straight away. But sometimes, you know, you're not in the mood for a certain type of thing. And I was in the mood for Street Fighter this morning. And so I played it. And now, because of this, I haven't got a video.
Okay.
Because I wanted to play Street Fighter.
I mean, that's fair, man.
You know, like, because this is how much time I spend playing video games. Not a lot of time, you know. Yeah. I dip in and out every so often. Usually weekend mornings, if I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I might just have a bash on something. So my time playing video games, I do sort of limit myself to that because there are other things that I end up doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I feel a bit bad about not providing a video.
It's okay.
I'm making trying to make up for it now with a podcast.
Hey man, you will get over that feeling. There was a time and a place with Biographic where I would release a video every week, sometimes two.
Mm.
And it got to be too much and I started not getting as much enjoyment out of been doing videos because I was having to crank them out and I felt like I didn't have much to say about certain things and I was having to do it because of a video and deadlines and all this kind of stuff.
And doing something like playing video games is not something you should see as a chore.
No, definitely not.
They're for fun.
Yeah.
They're for escapism. They're for a certain degree of satisfaction as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wolfenstein.
is a game which is kind of the perfect example and kind of embodiment of why I'm going to take a year off playing video games.
Oh, really?
Right. Here's the thing. The story of Wolfenstein, some of the moments in that game are absolutely incredible. Some of the best storytelling I've seen in a video game. Like, PJ Blazkowicz is a character I should not really care about.
Mm.
However, I do actually think he is very well written.
And
he has
a great chin.
He has a great chin, a nice scar. And there's a lot going on with him as a character and the supporting characters aboard the U-boat that you're on in that game.
I'm not surprised because the previous game was very well written.
It is. However, like I talked about with the New Order, I think a lot of the shooting in that game feels a bit dated.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cool guns. None of the firefights in themselves, however, are particularly memorable.
Really? I find shooting people quite satisfying in Wolfenstein.
I mean, it is,
yeah.
But it's more of the same. It doesn't really go anywhere else. And I think I started to feel it a bit with Destiny, which is the, you know, is an incredibly satisfying shooting game.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've shot a lot of things in my time playing video games.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel that we've kind of reached a point where shooting something in a video game feels satisfying. And that's all there really is to it.
Well, maybe for me, it's satisfying short bursts. I could play a couple of hours of Destiny or Call of Duty a week, and that's fine. But maybe 12 hours of shooting things, you know, over a short period of time.
No, but I mean, like, I play Destiny once a week on a Thursday, I raid. Yeah. I didn't this week because of some other things. But, like, usually I will spend, like, 2-3 hours playing Destiny, and there's a chat room where I shoot things. At no point during that necessarily am I like, okay, well, just killing the ads here is something. There are raid mechanics and there are other interesting things going on with the shooting that actually, in my head, are the reason I'm playing that game.
Depends how good at it you are as well, because I feel like the more I play these games, the better I get.
Yeah.
But I wonder when you reach a certain level that you can't feel like you can really improve your game much. Is that maybe where you're at with shooting games? Because I always feel whenever I play Call of Duty, I get a degree of satisfaction. I've got so many kills this week. Oh, I'm actually getting better. I can feel myself understanding the game better, getting faster and getting more enjoyment.
But that's perhaps the thing here is there's not that degree of, like, with Destiny, there was a lot of times I was having to hide behind cover and recharge my shield and do all these other things. Yeah. Wolfenstein is literally you grabbing two submachine guns and just mowing everyone down.
Hmm.
Like, that is the gameplay, is you go into an area. I've tried to be stealthy every time I mess up because the mechanics are kind of against you to be stealthy in areas. Okay. You set off an alarm, lots of troopers come, you have an abundance of health, you have an abundance of armor at most times, and you just lay waste to them.
Okay. I don't...
Playing on the medium difficulty when I started actually was okay. But to be honest,
is it to do with the difficulty level, do you think, though?
I just got bored. Like, playing it with the game is like, oh God, I've got to be really tactical with which people I shoot going behind cover. Like, it bored me even more than playing it on easy, which I eventually switched it to. Because
you just had more fun mowing people down.
No, the narrative is just so bloody good
that I
wanted
what
to
kept
see
you playing.
The story, and that's what kept me going.
So the... Oh, dear.
But when the game in between, for me, I to be honest with you, this has kind of been... with a lot of games I've played recently, has been neither here nor there. Obviously, I got an immense degree of satisfaction at some of the stuff in Nier, but by the third time playing through that game, I was like, okay, cool. I can jump dash, and I can do this, and I can
games
do that.
Games aren't always the greatest medium for telling stories.
No, they're not, and this is something I've started to realise. Yeah. I won't say too much on the story of Wolfenstein. I honestly do recommend you play it, because it is a solid game. It has got an incredible story, and there are moments, and you will undoubtedly have heard this if you listen to any other video game podcasts, where that game just does some weird, amazing shit that you would never see in any other video game. Mm. There are super, super interesting moments.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can only go off what I've experienced in the first one, but if it's anything like that, then I think I know what to expect.
No, man.
Even further. Because that did some
like this
surprising
is this
things.
Is dialing it up to like 15 at okay. some point. Okay. It goes some crazy places, and I love that about it. It honestly, like, it's a great story. Unfortunately, it does set the game up very heavily for a third installment in the Wolfenstein series. Mm. And to be honest with you, I'm going to have to ask myself whether I play through that or whether I watch it on YouTube.
Mm.
Because as good as this is, I've come to a point playing video games where I really like the story. But as you say, I don't think video games are the best medium for telling
what
these stories.
What new gameplay mechanics does it bring to the table, though?
Not a lot. Same guns as the first one. One or two new, like a small pocket grenade launcher and a few other things. Mm. But nothing you've not seen in a video game before, I don't think.
Okay. What, gadgets and things? You got new gadgets?
You get some new gadgets, but I'm not going to talk about them because they're slightly spoilery.
Oh, okay.
But you get the ability to like run through walls or go through smaller spaces or jump higher.
What about the decision-making in the game? The first game had moments where the story would take a different path depending on decision.
There are no decisions to be made in this game other than saying whether you chose Wyatt, the kid, or the Scottish guy that I can't remember the name of at the start of that game. And that's very much right at the start. You pick who you killed in the first Wolfenstein to carry on their story.
Oh, okay, because I'm thinking of that instant where you can rescue one of two people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the game bridges off of that point again. Oh. So the first thing you do in that game is essentially like previously on Wolfenstein.
I couldn't remember who it was you were saving. It's been so long ago.
It's Fergus is the Scottish guy. Yeah. He's a grumpy old Scottish dude. Or there's like a young-faced guy called Wyatt.
Mm.
I chose Fergus. Apparently Wyatt's storyline is a lot more interesting. And apparently all of that trippy LCD stuff is through Wyatt because I never saw any of that.
So maybe I thought that was a bigger thing than it actually was in the game, that there were several of these key decision-making moments.
In the first game, that was the only one. And then the second one follows that branching path here. And
one of those branching paths. Yeah. Again, you get to choose.
Yeah, but apparently, I mean, they're very different things. Like, they're very different scenes. And there are some moments in that game that I don't think would have happened or would have happened at all without Fergus, in my case.
Yeah.
Because some very specific things happen to that character that, from what I know of the Wyatt playthrough, from what I've seen in trailers, don't happen to him. Mm. So
there's a lot of game there, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Should you want to go through it again, then you have got another path that you can take.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, I feel like I'm selling this game short.
Do you think it might be too much? That the game might be too long?
not necessarily.
Because the storyline maintains your interest throughout.
No. To be honest, I felt that Wolfenstein The New Order was too long. I believe that game's about 15 hours.
Because I think that's also an issue, games being too long.
I felt a high degree of fatigue with that game.
Yeah.
I don't think this one is, to be perfectly honest. Well, I just think good. It's more of the same. And that's not necessarily what I'm looking for in a video game anymore. I believe as time goes by, I do not want to just run through people and mow them down so I can see the next story cutscene.
A worthy sequel?
Definitely. It improves upon a lot, I would say. Yeah. Like I said, it's more considerate of a player's time. There's a lot of quality of life stuff, like reloads are faster, and I believe the guns feel a little bit better than they did in The New Order.
Mm.
And obviously, it looks great. But like I said, for me, the main reason to play this game is the story and experiencing that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. So that's a thumbs up, but maybe you've had enough of this genre or...
Yeah. I think that's probably right. Honestly, like I said, I feel like I'm selling this game short. I think it is a very good game. I do honestly believe...
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of fun out of it, but maybe you personally...
Yeah, I'm kind of maybe a bit tired of AAA games.
Okay. You want something more innovative, more different, sort of more revolutionary?
Yeah, I'm looking for just something I haven't experienced before. Yeah. I feel that regardless of how good the story is here, I feel that it is just more of the same shooting.
Okay.
Like, it is incredibly polished and the storyline is great. But I don't feel like I got anything new out of it.
That's fair enough. I can see where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been playing through a story mode.
Oh, really?
Of Street Fighter V.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, so what I'll say about that is, first of all, it's very interesting, this new trend of forcing in some reasonably long story modes into fighting games.
Yes.
Developers seem to think that's what people want out of a fighting game, a story mode.
Yeah.
And I don't think the two things really gel.
Right.
Do you really?
I thought the stuff they were doing in Mortal Kombat was really cool.
Mortal Kombat was the first instance where I thought this is rather effective.
Yeah.
But I can't remember for the life of me what was going on in that storyline. And it's a similar thing with Street Fighter. You know, some of the character interactions are cool. You know, some of the cutscenes are quite fun to watch because you learn a bit more about the characters. It gives them a little bit more depth than some of them actually already had.
Yeah.
But actually, if you do read into a lot of the literature around the Street Fighter and the comic books, then there is actually quite a lot of
there's tons
depth
of it,
to the
but
characters.
It's incredibly convoluted.
Yeah. But you get a little bit of this in this game, and it's fun to see the characters interact with each other. And it's basically a setup where Bison needs these, they're like keys, they're chess pieces.
Yeah.
And, of course, as the Street Fighter gang, you've got to get them before Bison does.
Yeah.
But there's two factions in this game as well. There's the regular guys, the classic Street Fighter characters that we all know and love. And then there's another group, which Rashid's in there, one of the newer characters.
Yeah.
He's a sort of in-between character, which connects the two groups. But Jory is it? Yes.
Yuri,
yeah. Sorry. Yep, that's correct. And this Russian woman. And, a couple of other newer characters are in another faction. You don't know if they're good or bad. Or they want to get rid of Bison, but they might want to get rid of them just to replace him with someone even more evil.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Rashid's sort of stuck between the two groups. So, you know, it's okay, the storyline, but it's just a little bit, maybe not as engaging as it could be, because it's a fighting game, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about one particular character. It's you're jumping between so many different characters, so you never really get connected to any one thing. And the fights are just easy.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a way to... There probably is a difficulty setting for the story mode, but that's not the idea of the story mode. It's to tell a story, not to provide a good fighting game experience. So you end up just filling in the gaps.
Yeah, that's where it's kind of at odds with itself, though, right?
Yeah, like... it really is. Mortal Kombat does that better because there is a substantial challenge in the fights in the story mode.
Yeah.
Street Fighter, you can skip the fight if you want to.
Really?
You can pause it and skip the fight.
Wow, okay. That seems a bit odd.
Yeah, so it's not about a challenge of progressing. It's just about showing a story and then saying, well, you can fight here and there and creating instances where it makes sense for you to fight.
Yeah.
I do really like the gameplay of Street Fighter V. So, you know, it's all right playing through. It gives you a chance to play as some of the characters you might not normally play as,
right,
which is cool. It allows you to play as characters you don't have from the start as well that you need to unlock. We can, thankfully, Street Fighter, you can do that with points,
yes,
rather than spending money.
Yes.
But you do have to have a lot of points. So, mm-hmm, in the end, I can't blame someone if they really want to play as a character to actually going out of their way to buy one.
Yeah.
I actually bought the Street Fighter 2 soundtrack that you can... So you can play the levels with Street Fighter 2 music.
All right, okay.
I thought for £3.50 or whatever it was, that's as much as a pack of Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
I thought I'd probably get a little bit more enjoyment out of a pack of cards. You know, no, out of this than a pack of cards, you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
But yeah, I don't know if it's the right place for story mode fighting games. And then this one's a bit... The Tekken one also was a bit... It definitely had more of a challenge.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's like they're long as well. And I heard some people actually were a bit disappointed with the length of them. They didn't think they were long enough.
Yes.
But I don't think you can maintain that interest when all you're doing is just fights every now and again.
I don't know. I mean, there is a particular kind of gamer who just loves to play fighting games, and you are one of those.
I do. But the fights have got to be interesting. And I'd rather play against a human opponent than do this.
Yeah.
Or I'd rather have a quick blast through in, 20 minutes on arcade mode for my fix. Yeah. I don't want to have to sit through hours of story to get... You don't play the story modes to get your fighting fix. You play them because you're interested in a story.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because the majority of time, you're not playing the game. You're watching the game. So you might as well just watch a film.
Yeah.
And then you might as well play the arcade mode later. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely
do. That's what
you
do when you see a film and then, oh, I really enjoyed that. Now I'll play the video game with the film. And you don't necessarily want the video game to just tell the story of the film because you just watched it. You just want to reenact those moments in the film that you really enjoyed. Like an arcade, like Star Wars Arcade, for instance. You know, that's a good way of experiencing those Star Wars things.
Yeah.
So that's just how I feel about story modes in fighting games.
I mean, the writing's never been great. I can't say to you, oh man, what about this, what about that? Like, Mortal Kombat for me seems to be the way to do a fighting game story
mode. I've heard Injustice 2 has a very good story mode.
I've heard that Marvel vs. Capcom,
really?
The new one, has a pretty interesting story mode. It's supposed to just be lighthearted and very self-aware.
I do find it fascinating, though, how there's been this move towards story modes in fighting games, as opposed to having just a standard arcade mode. Is it just what people expect out of a video game?
It's kind of always been there, isn't it? I mean... It is an arcade mode, but you've always had an ending. You always felt that you were fighting towards an ending.
And I like that.
Resolution.
You know, one cutscene that you earn at the end, you know, is fine for me to tell as much of a story as there is there about. And if you want to know more about the characters, watch a Street Fighter film, read a Street Fighter book.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't make it so the game is the story.
I mean,
I don't know.
Should you have to go outside the game to understand why Nash and Guile have a relationship? You know what I mean? Like, should that be spelled out for you as someone playing that game?
Yeah, I guess it does give you the opportunity to expand upon those things within the game, because you might not necessarily have, you know, wanted to go out of your way to read a book or something about it. And I've not been hating the Street Fighter V story mode.
You're just not that big on it.
I just don't think fighting games and story modes really mesh that well. And it's, there are other ways of telling stories. It's just trying to relate it back there to what you said there.
Is there a world in which you think fighting games could have a story? What would a story mode in a fighting game be for you then?
I think you'd have to have something more than just one-on-one fights.
Okay.
I think you might have to have different situation, different criteria for winning that will make it more interesting.
Okay.
Perhaps. You know, the stakes have got to be higher. If you win this match, you know, it means more. Maybe some decision making. Maybe
so, like,
some
branching paths
depending on who wins. Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, you might not necessarily win, but you can still continue the story.
You have to hold off Bison while Chun-Li escapes, so you are just pretty much, you're not trying to kill him, you're just trying to block and try and counter or do whatever.
Yeah. Street Fighter does try and do a few different things. One bit, you have to beat up a policeman.
Okay.
It's one-on-one fight with a policeman. This policeman's come to arrest Cammy. then you just beat him up. But he doesn't fight back, really. Yeah. So it kind of feels a bit pointless.
Okay.
Because there's no challenge there.
Interesting.
It is interesting to experience. I'd say try it. It was free addition to the game, which would have been there to begin with, of course, you know. It looks nice. The cutscenes are good, and everyone's got massive hands.
Yeah, I've heard this.
Yeah. I don't know when the hands got so big. I can't remember in Street Fighter 4 everyone had
this was a big thing about Street Fighter 5. I remember everyone commenting on this when the first trailer was released, when they were making the list of just like Ryu's massive hands.
Also, there's some clipping, which is a shame, with some capes and some fabrics. It's quite a lot. It's quite noticeable. I usually wouldn't pick at things like that, but it is really noticeable in the cutscenes when cats interact as well. You know,
I had one or two clipping moments in Wolfenstein when you're in like a capsule and you try and reload, and then it just looks like you're putting the gun through your face and through the wall. And it's like, ah.
It's not the worst clipping I've seen in a game, because some games, you know, just don't pay any attention to ironing out things like clipping, do they?
That was actually one of the weird things with Wolfenstein when I started off playing it. Like, you're going through a lot of like war-torn areas, and just then walking around some of that terrain, like your character would catch on some of the scenery, or you wouldn't be able to like traverse over stuff in a way you'd kind of expect in a video game in 2017. But
there's a lot of big games come out at the minute, isn't there? I'm curious, on the subject of clipping, whether or not Assassin's Creed, which is a series that is notorious for bugs.
I have seen one or two videos of like weird bugs of like when you desynchronize, when you die, of like a character catching on a wall and continuing to jitter, and then the game kills you to restart, and then you're being pulled apart.
I wonder why it is that Assassin's Creed tends to go wrong so much. Is it because the development's rush? Is it because the games are overly ambitious in what they're trying to achieve?
Bigger areas, it's the same as like Bethesda games, like Skyrim tend to be. It's just bigger areas, more bugs, more code.
But what about GTA? GTA has always, for me, been a solid experience. Rarely have a
you can get stupid things happening in a GTA game, though.
But you don't hear about it as much as Assassin's Creed, do you?
I think
Assassin's Creed just become like the target for these?
The punching bag for this kind of thing.
I think it could have.
Maybe, I think there's a degree of stupidity in Rockstar games that people are willing to accept because of that universe.
It just feels out of place in the more serious tone of a Assassin's Creed game.
Perhaps, yeah. Also, like, some of that stuff in Assassin's Creed Unity, for example, where characters had no faces.
Yeah.
And it's just eyes and, like, mouths talking. You never hear about stuff like that happening in either Bethesda or Rockstar games. Like, some of that is just fucked up, and I believe that's why they took 2 years off now to make this one.
So there should be less of that in this new game.
You'd hope.
Because they've had more time. So it's a question of time and rushing things out for release dates.
Yes.
Yeah. And then patching it later. That old chestnut.
Yes. Yeah. That old chestnut.
Which Street Fighter 5 was also guilty of, but in terms of content, I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also played some of that Super Mario Odyssey, and I really like that game. Long-time listeners of the podcast will know that I have a great distaste for Super Mario 64. I played that game later.
I just find it strange that anyone could have a great distaste.
I just... There is something about how that game looks, something about how that game controls, that I just really don't like.
I'm just won over by the joyous atmosphere, the music, the colours, the solid gameplay, to be honest.
I hate having to go into a world, getting a star, being kicked out, then having to go back in.
Okay.
There are some very unintuitive things about that game. I will give it the benefit of the doubt. It was the first 3D platformer of its kind.
And the camera can at times be a little bit, you know, uncooperative.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Like, that goes...
It's not the worst camera I've ever used. Which just says something about it, because of the time when it was made.
True.
That they managed to get it that good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, as I've always kind of laughed about, like, I preferred Banjo-Kazooie.
It's an improvement. It takes that and sees what it, you know, maybe struggles with and improves on it. Like, for example, when you get a Jiggy, you're not thrust out, are you?
No.
No, you can just go and get another one. Yeah. That's right.
There are some definite quality of life improvements.
Is Odyssey the game that Super Mario 64 should have been?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, everyone has always told me, like, oh man, you need to try Galaxy. Galaxy is an absolutely incredible game. And don't get me wrong, I played the first hour of Galaxy and I was very impressed with that game.
I've had similar experience with Galaxy. I played more of Galaxy 2, actually.
Yeah.
Because that's the one I got first. And, you know, I played a lot of the game and was thoroughly impressed with it, but there was something about it that didn't keep me playing. Okay. I don't know what it is, really. Yeah. But I played through all of Mario 3D World. I found that to be a very concise little package.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe not so much with Galaxy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I understand people are probably at home shouting into the bus where they're sitting listening to this podcast going, madness, madness.
I think what's there in Galaxy is amazing. It's just, I don't know, I wasn't compelled to play it through to the end.
No.
And I was with 3D World, which I'm sure many would say that is not as good a game as Galaxy.
I like 3D World. Yeah. Obviously, like, for me, the best Super Mario 3D game, or well, it's 2.5D, was the new Super Mario Brothers on the DS. I really enjoyed that game.
The very first one.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of the same. And then obviously they expanded upon that within the Wii release and on the
Wii U.
The Wii U.
And the sequel on the 3DS.
They're both all very good games. Yeah. And for me, I was like, okay, this is how I want to experience 3D Mario. Like, I've never really had that much going on with a full 3D environment.
You enjoyed 3D Land on the 3DS?
I enjoyed 3D Land.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
That was my first 3DS game.
Yeah. No.
Oh.
But the playing Odyssey, honestly, was a joy.
Mm.
I really,
like you would expect a Mario game to be.
Like you expect a Mario game to be. But just cappy, the general mechanic of you essentially merging Mario and Kirby. You throw your hat onto something, you become that person, you take on that character traits. Really allows you to play a Mario game in a different way. You're still going around, you're still butt stomping bosses and killing enemies which are on their heads and things, but there it is a big sandbox environment that have a lot going on in them, and there is so much instant gratification to be given in getting the moons. And sometimes you feel like a genius, because sometimes you're like, oh man, like, how the hell do I do this? Okay, I've got to go here, I've got to jump on this, I've got to backflip, I've got to do a butt stomp so I get some higher elevation. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, is that similar to, it sounds like similar to the feeling I had when playing that new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild.
Breath
of the Wild makes you feel very clever as well.
Yes.
And especially since there isn't just one way to do a puzzle.
Yes. And that this is the same with this. You get that same feeling of shrines, but that is the entire world.
Yeah,
this is the Breath of the Wild of Mario.
Mm.
It doesn't do that much that radically shifts the series in a new direction, I would say, is Breath of the Wild. From that regard, the Breath of the Wild is technically a more impressive game.
Mm.
That being said, this is just a good time all round. I have very, very little, if anything, to critique with this game.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. A time and a place where I feel like I've played a good degree of 3D platformers. I feel like I've played a good degree of most things.
Yeah.
For it to keep my attention for, God, the like 12 hours I played to get through the main story and then an extra additional few to do like a secret end boss was phenomenal. Like, I played through Mario and Rabbids before I played it, just to complete that game, to get it out of the way. And that was good, but by the end of the game, that had started to drag a little bit.
Now, the fact you say get out of the way would imply...
Well, I mean, I wanted to beat it before I played Odyssey, was the thing, because I knew,
you wouldn't
in
go back
my heart
to it,
of hearts,
maybe,
if I put Odyssey in that Switch, I would not go back to it.
Mm.
So I beat it, I really enjoyed it, I think it's a really good game, and to be honest with you, by the end of that game, I kind of understood strategy games a bit better.
Okay.
However, like, Mario Odyssey, man, like, it just does some great things. There's just, you throw your hat onto enemies, and there's such as a caterpillar. And the caterpillar just extends, meaning you can go around corners.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of puzzles where you're on moving platforms, and you're having to essentially, like, snake your way around the platforms to not get hit by the spikes and land on other blocks, and then retract yourself back in, and then do it all over again. Mm. That make you play a 3D platformer in a way you've probably never played a 3D platformer before.
Ooh.
they...
Wouldn't you like to say that about Wolfenstein?
I would love to say that about Wolfenstein.
In the way you never play a shooter.
But it just, it does some great things. I think the story is, you know, it is a Mario story. They kind of, they subvert your expectations a little bit towards the end of it, but I won't say what the
score is. The princess is kidnapped by Bowser.
She is.
But Bowser has now arranged a marriage.
He has. He wants to marry
her. More than he's gone... It's further than he's gone before.
Yes. Yeah. He kicks you off of his big flying ship. You land. You meet with Cappy. And then Cappy has a spaceship called the Odyssey that's been broken. And you need to find moons to fix the Odyssey.
Ooh.
So you find yourself going...
That reminds me of the galaxy a bit. Yeah. You're on a spaceship on that, aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
And so you start going around these different parts of the world where Bowser is going with the intent of, for example, getting Peach a wedding dress or getting a cake. All of them have a theme around the wedding, and you are trying to help the inhabitants of that place fight him and his little rabbit, space rabbit things from planning this wedding and stealing these things from
his
people.
He's not got his Koopa Kids.
He's not got his Koopa Kids, but they feel very much in the same vein as the Koopalings.
Yeah.
Even some of how you fight them is like they go into a hat and spin around, or they spew up poisonous stuff, and it feels very much like the 3D world fights for a lot of it.
Yeah, but I guess it's good going down a different direction with this. Yeah, one. We've done that a few times.
As playing as Mario, you do experience these fights in the same way you usually would. Three times on the head, and they're done.
Yeah.
However, most of the other boss encounters in the world generally rely on you taking over an enemy and using their unique characteristic to kill the enemy. For example, there's one thing quite late in the game where you're fighting a giant mechanical structure and you are like a woodpecker. Mm. So you're this little bird. It kind of looks a little bit like an angry bird wobbling on your two legs. You're quite slow. And then you just got this nose. And when you hit A, instead of you... It's either A or B, whichever it is, instead of you doing a regular attack as it would be in most other things, the nose of the woodpecker goes. So that means that you're hitting bombs back with that. It means that you're going up to the legs and trying to chip the armor off the legs. And then you can also use it to climb, because when you do it at a surface, it makes it that the nose is bendy. So you can press down, and then when you press up, it releases, and then you do a long
jump.
And
I guess this feels intuitive. Like, you know, you may be the first time controlling a character like this, but you learn how to
use it. You get
it
instantly. They are just playing with established mechanics. For example, there's one when you're on a water world where you're like a little squid thing. And essentially all it does is you either hold down and B to jet up, or you press... a direction and
so
B to jet in that direction.
The same button commands as you would with Mario, they just do different things.
Yes, they do.
That's good, because the worst thing would be totally different.
And it tells you when you get into the thing for the first time what the controls are. Oh, okay. So it's like, okay, cool, I can do this.
If
this,
you
and this.
Were in doubt. Sounds a little bit like Banjo-Kazooie.
A little bit.
Banjo could turn into different things.
A little bit, yeah.
That's interesting.
It is.
That it's all come full circle. And now Mario's taking a few cues off Banjo, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah. But these become core to the experience for me. And
but then again, I mean, Mario would sort of gain new attributes in previous games, wouldn't he? Like Frog Suit or Tanuki.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's done this sort of thing before.
Yes.
Just not in such a way.
No, like I said, this is more Kirby than anything I think you ever experienced in a Mario title before. Mm. You are taking over enemies. You are using their abilities to your... benefit.
Well, you throw the cap on the enemy, then you control the enemy,
You become the enemy, yeah.
Oh, so then Mario becomes the
enemy. Yes, every enemy suddenly gets a Mario moustache.
So it's not like Mario is standing there while Cappy
are the enemy.
You're not... Yeah, okay.
You throw the cap with Y, the cap lands on anything's head that hasn't got a hat.
And then Mario's kind of sucked into its...
Yes, and there's one or two like cutscenes towards the start. It's kind of him like getting literally pulled into this other dimension thing and going, wah! In the Mario way he does.
Yeah.
And then just whatever it is has a moustache. So, for example, there's points where you take over a Bullet Bill, you're a Bullet Bill with a moustache and a cap.
Mm.
Or you can become a fire hydrant because you need to flick yourself around New Donk City.
So it sounds like there's a lot of different characters that you can take over.
Yes.
It's not just a handful. It's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Which sounds like a big challenge in terms of developing something like that. Yeah. You know, yeah.
But it honestly, it just makes for a good time. And yeah. I was very surprised with it. I don't quite think, as I said, I think technically and more from a gameplay point of view of reinventing the wheel, I think Zelda is probably going to be my game of the year.
Mm.
But this is definitely a close second, I think. It's an incredible game.
So what do you think of the visuals?
It looks great. I only played
Nintendo's first-party titles look amazing on the Wii U as well. Yeah. They look great.
I only played it in handheld mode because I was back in Wales when I played and beat it. I've yet to plug it into the dock and see what it looks like on a TV. But it looked great. Some of the things that people complain about on handheld mode and some of the stuff I noticed on Zelda, like hitching and the frame rate and stuff, I never experienced any of that while playing it in handheld mode. It's an incredibly well-polished title.
But music?
Oh, the music's great. I mean, it's a Mario game, man. Yeah. Like, that's to be expected, I think. Yeah. I don't think there's a bad Mario soundtrack. Even Sunshine has some incredible music in it.
Yeah. I remember the Galaxy games were very very much admired for their music.
There is one moment that is very Sonic Adventures with the music. I will not say what it is.
Well, there's other things that also look similar to Sonic Adventures.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of Sonic Adventures inspiration, maybe. But
wow.
Yeah.
That's good, though. You know, Nintendo aren't afraid to acknowledge certain other things and use them.
Definitely not. Fine. But, yeah. All in all, I can't say enough good things about Odyssey.
That's great because I've bought a Switch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I won't play it till Christmas. Okay. I bought it for me for Christmas, yeah. With Mario, because Mario was the game that I wanted.
How much did that cost you?
$335.
Okay.
With Mario and the case, the Switch case.
Yeah, yeah.
The red one.
Yeah.
You see, there is the bundle.
Yeah.
Where you get the red Joy-Cons, you get a digital copy of Mario, but you don't get a case.
Yeah.
And that's $330. And I managed to do a bit of a bundle deal where I got the neon Joy-Cons.
The physical control.
The physical game, Mario, which then, I wanted.
Yeah.
And then the case as well, for just £5 more than that other bundle. So
la la.
That pleased me. And I bought that online, yeah. So it'll be delivered to the UK, and I shall play that at Christmas.
Okay,
It was a bit of an expensive treat to myself, but Mario, I knew it. I knew Mario had to be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, and now you've just confirmed that to me.
I love that.
I haven't read any reviews of it. I've only seen, like, the 10 out of 10s or 9 out of 10s, but I never read much. I just knew that it was going to be good.
I love it. It's a good game.
Yeah. But it does beg the question, what else do I want on the Switch? Because I said this before, buying a Switch just for Mario is like, there's going to be something in the future. I do have a digital copy of Sonic Mania.
You do?
Which I should.
I beat Sonic Mania as well.
Yes, you beat it before I have.
Yes. Wow, that says something.
Wow.
I mean, like, I was on the end boss. I'm not going to say much about that game.
Yeah, well, I'm also very close to the end as well.
I thought there was going to be a second end boss.
Am I very close to the end? Or not.
Where are you?
That level we played together. Did we play it together? No.
I think you're at the end of the game. I think you just need to beat that end level.
Yeah, I think I am. But
I was playing on your couch that one time.
Oh, see that one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, then you are at the end of the game. You just need to beat that end boss.
Yeah, yeah. I've been playing a bit of Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Yes.
I got it on the PS4 for £12.50.
We played it on the plane and Marta beat me.
Great game. Love it. I actually ended up with a Japanese copy because it
said.
Was cheaper. Yeah, did I say this? It's easy enough to work out the options. I've really been enjoying playing through the story mode. Not for the story, but for the constant changing of challenges throughout. You know, I'm about 20-30% through. You know, I've done the first maybe 30 levels. And I like how it changes things up. Sometimes you're doing like a time attack. Sometimes you're doing switching between Puyo Puyo Tetris. Sometimes it's a straightforward one-on-one match. But one of you may be Tetris, one of you may be Puyo. Or it could be both Puyo. I'm better at Tetris than I am Puyo, but I'm learning Puyo Puyo pretty well now.
Yeah.
And I get it. And it's very satisfying. I'm just not as good at it as I am at Tetris.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got many years of experience playing Tetris as opposed to Puyo, so it's fair.
So I actually think that if I could get that cheap, I'd like to have it on the Switch as well.
I think you can. Yeah. I think it's pretty affordable.
I heard it was on sale digitally at one point, you know, for a discounted price. Yeah. If that ever happens, I'd be quite happy to get a digital copy of it. I doubt it takes up a lot of room on your
probably not
on your Switch. I'm also curious about Street Fighter, but I wouldn't want to pay too much for it.
No,
I like the idea of having a Street Fighter.
I saw it pretty cheap. I saw it for about £25 mark pre-owned in CEX when I was back.
I get that if I can get it cheap enough.
I wanted to pick up Cinemora, the physical copy of that, but I didn't in the end because it was £25 everywhere. And I was like, I've already got that game. Do I really need to buy it for 25 quid? So eventually I'll get that. I mean, you've got a great library of games already on the Switch. You have a great version of Mario Kart. I know you already have it on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Splatoon 2 is a very good game.
I'm not going to get either of them.
No. Mario & Rabbids is also great.
Mm.
Honestly, like, I think Mario & Rabbids is a good game.
Yeah.
I would like to get ARMS. I don't think it's got the longevity perhaps you'd be looking for,
no.
But
I'm having to be pretty, at the moment, I'm not going to be buying many Switch games because I've just bought a Switch and it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
I've also pre-ordered Sonic Forces, but for the PS4.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was getting a Switch at that point when I pre-ordered that. Also, I think maybe PS4 might have the edge over Switch version. I don't know.
It's not very good on either.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you heard already? It's not out yet.
It's out in Japan and Famitsu apparently trashed it.
Oh, well. Didn't break the bank, but no. Sonic. I always buy Sonic games at launch, as long as it's better than Sonic Boom.
I don't know if it's supposed to be. I hear it's not very good.
But I have found a certain degree of enjoyment out of all the recent 3D
you have.
Sonics. Like, Generations, I think, is great. I would have expected it to be on the same level as Generations, actually.
Yeah.
Considering I'm sure it's the same team.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
From what I saw, I saw very low review scores making the rounds.
That's a real shame. Not the best way to follow up Sonic Mania, is it really? Sonic Mania is a super game. You'd hope this could maybe measure up to it in some way as a 3D game at least.
No, well, you'd hope so, right?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? I mean, that'd be great for Sonic. Now it's like, as soon as Sonic's on the rise,
yeah.
Then.
Apparently, like, one or two reviews have leaked. Actually, no, Famitsu did give it a good score. It gave it 35 out of 40.
Oh, what are you on about then?
I'd seen that it had got trashed by Famitsu. I trust him.
Well, that's a good score, isn't it?
It is for Famitsu, yes. However,
and
they're
for
not,
Sonic games.
They're not releasing the review codes.
Oh.
Which generally means that it's probably shit and they know people are going to trash it when it's reviewed.
But not by that review?
Not by the Famitsu one, no.
You don't think Sega's like giving them a bit of money?
I don't know.
I don't know if, heaven forbid that goes on in video game reviewing.
Yeah, exactly. I'd see.
Okay, so maybe it's not as bad as you just told me it was.
I've heard nothing but bad things about that game from a variety of podcasts and other
media. Then there are a certain amount of people who have it in for Sonic. I certainly think, being the fan that I am and having liked the recent games.
Yes, you are an edge case. But apparently Bubsy's terrible. So
I can believe that, funnily enough.
Yeah, apparently Bubsy is like one of the worst games ever made. So
wow, they're keeping up a tradition there, aren't they?
I mean, I didn't really mind the Super Nintendo one when I was a kid.
Well, I played a bit of Bubsy 2 recently on the Mega Drive, and I did not like that.
I played it on the Game Boy, and it's absolute garbage.
Yeah, well, I don't like the fact it's hard to know really where you're at or where you're going. You know, it's this hub world, all these levels, and it's like very confusing.
Now, do that. Take out all of the story and all of the context for why you're actually doing anything and put it on an 8-bit console.
Yeah.
Then you'll have the Game Boy version.
It's garbage. I can't remember there being much context to the Mega Drive one, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Any more for any more? You played anything? Picked anything up?
Yeah. I swear I have. I think we should talk about what the amount of games been released lately and how scary that is in terms of someone who really likes trying out new games. How do you indeed pick what to play?
You know, with great difficulty, as
really
I found
is.
out, which is why I'm kind of burned out.
Inevitably, you can't buy everything.
You can try.
You can try, but you must have a lot of money to be able to do that.
And a lot of time.
And a lot of time. Time is also the thing, because games, you know, especially with these long story modes, can take a long time to get the most out of.
I can say that wholeheartedly, perhaps Assassin's Creed, perhaps Uncharted, and perhaps Horizon are the three games that I'm like, I would like to play those, but at the same time, I'm like,
We've also got a new Need for Speed coming out very soon.
No interest for me, so that's... But you know, I mean, Call of Duty just came out.
Call of Duty is the other, yeah. And Call of Duty, I heard somewhere it was very good.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it is as well. Battlefront 2, obviously, and we don't care about that. But
I mean, people do though.
Yeah.
What else have you got? There's a few other things, right? That are still yet to drop. I mean, Sonic Forces, as you just said. Xenoblade Chronicles.
Super Lucky's Tale
is also out.
Cuphead's already out.
Cuphead is already out. Yeah, that's one.
We can't talk about Cuphead as being upcoming release anymore.
No, exactly.
Oh, what a shame.
There's something else as well. I can't remember.
That's enough already.
It is. Yeah, I mean, especially after like last Friday when Mario,
yeah,
Assassin's Creed, and Wolfenstein came out.
Yeah. And then Call of Duty's just come out.
Yeah, and then those are the two next.
And Need for Speed's next, yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky's Tale's next.
Battlefront
as well,
right?
Battlefront is later, isn't it? In November. I don't think it's coming out at the same time as other ones.
Maybe.
Need for Speed's, I think, out on the 10th or something. Okay. Battlefront's out on the 17th, something like that.
Okay.
Remember. A lot of stuff coming out. I'm going to get Super Lucky's Tale.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a fun, colourful platformer. But then again, I've just put Mario, so
yeah,
I don't
know
if I need that so much. But it has been a game that I had on my radar for a while.
The last game I would like to buy and play this year is Pyre, I think.
Mm.
But other than that, I can't. There's nothing in this release window that's exciting me enough to go, man, I really need to spend 50, 60 quid on that.
I'm trying to think if I bought any games recently I can talk about.
I picked up a load of stuff while I was back in the UK. I finally got Doom 1 and 2 for the Game Boy Advance. I picked up Tales of Phantasia for the Game Boy Advance. I got some Game Boy games I was missing, like Spot's Cool Adventure and Ken Griffey Jr.'s RBL Baseball. Mm,
Gary Barlow Investigates.
Gary Barlow Investigates is a great, great first-party Nintendo title.
Yeah,
highly underrated, I would say. Yeah, and a few other bits and bobs here and there, but nothing really to write home about in, oh my god, terms.
Oh, wow, actually, in terms of buying stuff on eBay, I haven't bought anything since we last talked.
Wow.
That's great, isn't it? But I did, however, I haven't told you about this, go into a That's Entertainment in the UK when I was last back, and I picked up a few Game Boy games, which is totally not what I do.
Yeah.
But I did. And I told you, these were WWF Betrayal.
Oh, yes.
For the Game Boy Color. Not Game Boy Color, it's Game Boy Color, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then WrestleMania 2000 Game Boy Color, mm-hmm. That's a black cart, so mm-hmm. I guess it's both. And then Konami Crazy Racers, Sega Smash Pack, and Sega Arcade Gallery. Arcade Gallery is a game that's been on my list forever, and I remember giving up at one point because it was too expensive on eBay, and I was like, I don't want to spend that on it. I still ended up spending 10 quid on it, which I thought was quite a lot, especially compared to the other games, where they were like a couple of quid, up to 4 quid at the most, the other games were, and that was substantially more.
Yeah.
Some of those games I got for 2 quid, quid.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Game Boy's a pretty cheap console to collect for, fortunately.
Yeah. Betrayal's good. The side-scroller.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's quite playable.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's way forward, isn't it?
It is like way that. Forward, yeah.
You expect a certain degree of polish from them. WrestleMania 2000 isn't worth it, I'm sorry to say.
No, even though it's got The Rock looking his eyebrow on the cover.
It's very slow and awkward to play.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is essentially, it's not... LJS, is it? It's
LJN.
LJN. blame the cold. It's the people who made the Warzone game. I can't remember the name of the developer. Is it Acclaim?
Really? Because at the time, WrestleMania 2000 was handled by the good developer.
No, but I'm talking on Game Boy now.
Okay.
And they is published by LJN.
Right. I didn't know that. Who knows? Maybe it's just a hard game to pick up and play, but I really didn't have a lot of fun with it. I felt it should be more accessible than it was anyway.
Yeah.
Konami Crazy Races is a very solid, polished Mario Kart type game.
It is an incredible game.
Very good. You can get it on mobile phones as well, apparently.
Oh, really?
How different is it? It's fully 3D on the mobile, so it's probably a different game. But There is that. And Sega Smash Pack has Golden Axe and Echo the Dolphin and Sonic Spinball on.
Oh, really?
Which is
it's actually
nice.
Developed by Natsume.
There you go. Yeah, I'm sure it's a different developer.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if I need to give it more time. Maybe I do.
No, I hear it's a bad game.
Okay. And of course, Arcade Gallery is a very substantial package. It's Outrun, Hang-On, Space Harrier, and... Outrun, Hang-On...
Yeah.
Space Harrier and Afterburner.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, before you could get these games on the eShop, this was a fantastic way to play them portably.
Definitely.
I'm really fond of all those games, especially Hang-On.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good collection.
It's good.
I don't own it yet.
But then I realized, of course, I've already got Hang-On on the 3DS, so...
Oh, that's fine.
Whatever.
Oh, no.
Now I've got it on this console, you know what I'm like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I get it on every console.
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them
all. I can't think if I picked up anything else of note. I was looking for a copy of Way of the Samurai. I didn't get that. I teased myself by going, oh, wow, there's a copy of A Shadow's Tale in this CEX. Mm-hmm. I should buy that on payday. I'm sure no one will spend 48 quid on a weekend.
But that's the surprising part. I did not realise that game was asking that price.
Yeah, it's been asking that price for a while.
It's crazy, because I remember when a long time after it came out, it went cheap again.
On 15 quid on Zavi.
Yeah.
And you sent me a link and I didn't buy it. Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it goes.
Oh.
I bought it, 40 quid, posted.
Oh, yeah, I bought Marvel vs. Capcom as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. You maybe should play the single player and let me know if it's any good.
I'll pick it up when it's go back to the UK. Only cost me 22 quid.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's come down. It's like half price now.
Weird that.
If they release another version of it in the future, maybe I'll get that for...
I don't think they will.
They won't. Because I remember what they did with Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I initially bought it on
the
360,
right?
Then bought the Ultimate one on the PS3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? But it got that at a good price. I'm rather interested in the Resident Evil 7 Game of the Year Edition, whatever it's called, that's coming out, I think, on the 12th of December.
Yeah. It'd be worth picking
up. I want to play that game.
For sure, I want to play that game.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Okay. Yeah. Brings us to the end of the podcast, I guess. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bearing with me. And
I think you've done very well considering you're under the weather.
Thank you. I tried. Apologies to the listeners for the talk of politics up front and the rather lackluster introduction. I didn't mention it at
bad.
The time.
I was really just laying into you there a bit heavily.
When we
Matt,
were talking
I'm
about
sorry.
Politics, my fiance Marta actually handed me a note that says,
this.
I thought you said games, lol, because we were talking about podcasts for 5 minutes. Oh, well, that's how it goes.
But that was an interesting glimpse into Danish life. There,
yes,
because we like to do a bit of that on this podcast.
We do, yeah.
At the moment, at least, from both of us,
yes.
It's quite an interesting window into the world of Denmark, as well as video
Denmark.
Games. Of course, Matt will be our Danish correspondent
in
the future once I'm back in the UK. I'll be interested to hear all the latest Danish gossip.
Man, I want Danish correspondent on my Blast Process profile.
You
that
can
would
have
be awesome.
It.
Good.
It's yours.
Good. But until then, you can find us both on Twitter in a variety of places. You'll find us
I've got a tweet, yeah.
The Tom and Matt Attack Twitter, which is at TMAcast. You'll find me at GameBoyle and Tom Parry at TomParry11. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack and on a variety of websites such as BlastProcess.com and TomandMattAttack.com/podcast. Also listen to us in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're in iTunes, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe and share it around.
Check out Matt's latest boy graphic over on YouTube.
Yes.
Avenging Spirit.
On Avenging Spirit, which is a good game.
Oh,
you
and
buy
a nice
it
video.
Of the eShop.
Nice video.
Thank you
well
very
done,
much.
Matthew.
Yeah, I made a very expensive purchase procuring the channel that I will tell you about off the air, Thomas, but it's exciting times.
I can guess what it might be.
I would assume you would probably know, but... I'm going to leave it there in mystery land.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay then, cool. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Thomas. And remember,
thank you.
Until next week, everybody at home, to game on.
Game on.